Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Steve Rowling is stepping down from the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City. He led the foundation since it was created in 2002 after the Hospital Corporation of America bought the Health Midwest hospital system. Since 2005, the foundation has invested more than $160 million in health-related projects and programs in Kansas City. But where does Steve Rowling think healthcare is headed in the years to come? We'll find out. But first today, maybe you've always thought about running for office, but just never really knew how to go about doing it. These days, there's often a little more to it than just speaking at a forum or two. We'll get the lowdown from a panel of experts who are lining up an upcoming workshop in town aimed mostly, but not exclusively, at women. With us today is Carol Marinovich. She's a former mayor and CEO of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County, and she helped usher in the era of fast growth in the western part of the county with the Kansas Speedway and Village West. And Carol, it's always good to have you here.
My pleasure.
Good morning. Betty Knight is a former presiding commissioner of Platte County. Betty has run and won five elections from school board to presiding commissioner. Betty, good to have you too. Good morning.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Julie Warm is back. She's director of UMKC's Civic Engagement Program at the Institute for Human Development. Julie, good to have you too.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Carol, the last time you ran for mayor was in 2001, and I'm wondering, what's your sense is these days of just how much has changed when it comes to running for office these days? Is it more complicated?
Oh, I think it is, especially when you're thinking about the social media.
Yeah.
You know, the last time I ran, I didn't have a Facebook page or look at communication through the internet. However, there's some advantages, though, too, when you look at the ability for getting out fundraising information about going door to door with your volunteers and continually communicating with your supporters. So there's some real advantages, but there's also having to put that in place.
But you've also got to know how to use it is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Betty Knight, what do you think has changed in the years since you were in office?
Well, I agree with Carol that the social media is really prevalent these days, but I also think there are basics of how you communicate with people, how you do your message, how you get your message out, how you get your supporters. And so there are very basic, especially on the local level, of things that you have to do, and that's what we're excited about to visit with people in this forum that we're going to be holding.
I'm just wondering how often folks come to you, men or women, and sort of just wonder how to go about doing all this. They're interested, but when they really begin to look at exactly what's involved, they probably begin to realize pretty quickly there's a whole lot more to it than meets the eye. How often do you get those questions?
I get more questions after people make the decision to run, to ask for my input on different issues within our community. Those are more the questions that I currently get. You know, every now and then someone will ask, how did I get started? You know, and I'll talk to them about, you know, getting your volunteer base in place and really knowing what message you're going to run on and those very specifics, things that we're going to be covering in this upcoming workshop.
Yeah. Dr. Julie Warm, as you look at politics and elective politics these days, what's the big trend you're seeing? Does it go beyond Facebook and Twitter, or what are you seeing out there? Anything really hitting you?
So certainly the cost is intimidating. I think that the biggest concern that I have is that I'm just not seeing enough women stepping forward and saying, yes, I'm willing to take on this leadership challenge.
Why is that?
Well, there's a lot of research that once a woman files, she has the same access to the two key resources, which is funders and voters. The problem is that women don't see themselves as potential candidates. And so this campaign 101 is to help women overcome the inherent doubt and fear that they would have in running their first political campaign.
And how do you encourage someone to sort of get over that doubt? How do you deal with that?
Well, particularly for women, just giving them the information. Women do their homework. They prepare. And so this is a boot camp to help them get over the basics. And then in a supportive environment where we can talk to them that the doubt is part of the makeup. It's just there. And so how to overcome that doubt that's going to be there for any candidate, but particularly there for women.
Betty, there's always doubt when you run for office. What's that about?
Well, I think there's doubt. I think that, for instance, when I started, there was an issue that I came in to be concerned about with the school board. And I think a lot of times people, and particularly women, have an issue, and that's why they become involved. That's why they decide that they want to run for election. And I know that women running for presiding commissioner, for instance, in the state is a real challenge, or for running for commissioner. When I was a county commissioner, there are 330 commissioners in the state of Missouri, and there was never more than 20 women in the state of Missouri that were elected as commissioners. And I think that's an amazing thing. It's just
the
difference in the job. And so I would like to encourage people to look at all their options when they're running for office of what they might be interested in. Women seem to, on the local level in Missouri, pick another job, for instance, county clerk, treasurer, the assessor, the recorder, those jobs to run for as opposed to being a county commissioner.
You know, Carol Marinovich, you had such great success as the mayor and CEO of the Unified Government in Wyandotte County. And yet, here we are sitting here in 2013 talking about how reticent so many women are to run for office, how few women on many levels there are in public service. What the U.S. Senate these days, I think, hit 20, if I'm remembering my number right, 20 of 100. What's all this about? You know, it's 2013. And we're still talking about this.
Well, I think as Juliet pointed out, you know, some of the reticence of women to jump in. And I think, you know, when women are doing their homework, that's why we're having this workshop to try to encourage more women. Just because it's a female candidate doesn't necessarily mean it'll be the best candidate. But you want to have that pool of candidates to include more women, that increases the probability of more female representation.
You know, why were you able to sort of deal with the doubts and deal with whatever inherent issues there might be there with some women and move up as quickly as you did? I mean, what made it possible for you?
Well, before I ran for mayor the first time in 1995, I had been elected twice to the city council. So I had to develop a certain level of confidence in myself on knowing how to run a campaign. I knew the issues of our local government and had a vision for what I wanted our community to be like, and thought we were lacking that, and that was my motivator. I thought we needed to really look at consolidation of our government. I had some real issue motivators in my regard and really start doing more in terms of revitalizing our community and expanding our tax base. Those were the things I was looking at.
And do you think those motivations sort of helped you overcome whatever sort of inherent fears, concerns, doubts you had about yourself?
Well, I probably did it the wrong way when I first ran. If I was going to have any doubt, it'd be the first time I ran for city council, because there hadn't been a woman elected to city office in Kansas City, Kansas up to that point.
Never.
And so I still remember there were five of us in the primary. The top two vote getters went on to the general election. No one thought I would make it through the primary. It was a lot easier to generate support when I won the primary.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a strong support base. My campaign manager was extremely encouraging. My treasurer was encouraging. And I had support base primarily of women who are very encouraging for me to step forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really think it through. I was upset over a neighborhood issue. And I really reacted emotionally when I filed for that particular office.
But in some cases, that might help you overcome doubts in your own whatever insecurities you might be dealing with, right?
Yes, because when I once I got into the race, I was in it to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to overcome some obstacles because I was not only female at the time, I was a single female. And Wyandotte County politics was very much like what we see at the national stage now, down and dirty, very ugly.
Wait, slow down. Wyandotte County politics? Really?
Carol, yes.
You're breaking some news, breaking some fresh ground here
and
for those of us who have covered it for many years.
I had to learn very early on, in order to survive, I better develop a tough skin. I remember in that first primary coming home and crying. And I thought, I just had to talk to myself saying, toughen up. If you want to survive, you've got to toughen up and really isolate the political from the personal. Because a lot of the people who were yelling at me and calling me names did not even know me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to really make that separation and develop that thick skin, and that really helped me persevere.
Now, Betty Knight, again, a former presiding commissioner from Platte County, some listeners out there might hear what Carol just said about the need for a tough skin and a sense of just how tough the political environment can be and think to themselves, who needs it? And your response to that would be what?
Well, I think when you have an issue, like I did when I ran for school board, I had an issue.
You had an issue, too.
I had an issue, too. My daughters had played softball for a long time, and there wasn't a girls' softball team, and there were five boys' sports and three girls' sports, and that was why I became involved. But at the same time, I was working at the county in the treasurer's office, and I was involved in some other political campaigns. And after I was elected to school board, then there were some three women who were elected officials in Platte County came to me and said, you need to run for presiding commissioner. And at the time, I was really shocked because that wasn't my goal to run, or I hadn't thought about it. And we talked about it, my family and I, and made the made a plan and ran. And what I learned is that you do need to get thick skin because you have to know that everyone isn't going to agree with you. And I think that all along in all the campaigns that I ran is that there will be people who disagree with you, but as long as you're honest about what you believe and why you believe it, I think that you can persevere and you can be elected and you can be successful.
Hey, do you have a sense that if you could do it, then by George, a lot of other folks could do it too?
I think so too, because I didn't grow up in a political family. We had a business I grew up in with my family, and I had never had necessarily politics as my goal, but it was a very enjoyable life. And particularly on the local level, I think you're able to see what you can accomplish.
Yeah.
You're able to see things that happen. For instance, our park system that was put in place while I was in office. I'm very proud of the park system. We have a new road system that we were able to fund. So there were things that you can see right on the ground that you make happen. And I think that is the most rewarding part of being an elected official on the local level. And that's what I would encourage people to look at. What can you accomplish, and what would you like to see the place that you live and call home look like?
Carol Marinovich, you were telling me before the show today that the first time the Kansas Speedway ran its first race after all the work and the enormous gamble, both political and financial, that you and the county made to get that speedway out there. The first race is beginning, and you're sitting in the stands, and how did you react to that?
Well, it was even before I got to the stands. Mm-hmm. It was approaching the gate with my husband and seeing the thousands of people coming to the speedway. I just started crying. I was so overcome with emotion that we had so many visitors to our community, and then seeing them carrying bags of purchases, something we hadn't seen so long, as to what Betty was saying, for those, one thing that can, hopefully that can overcome women's fear about jumping into the race is to also think of how rewarding public service can be.
Mm-hmm.
Rewarding from a very personal perspective, when you can make a difference in the community, the people you can meet, and everything that you can learn through the process.
Yeah, when you drive out in the Village West area where the Speedway is and, Nebraska Furniture Mart and now Cerner's going in out there, what goes through your mind? That's got to be just a kick in the pants.
A sense of pride about
sure.
our community. But, on the downside, what that did was overshadowed some of the really good things that have been done in the urban core.
Mm-hmm.
I probably feel the same sense of pride when I drive by Palo Vista, an upscale housing development just south of 7th and Central, because that was the first time new housing was built east of 635 in over 30 years.
Mm.
So I feel that same sense of pride when I drive by Palo Vista that I do the Speedway.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking this morning about Campaign 101, an upcoming workshop designed to help folks figure out how to run for public office, particularly women. Campaign 101 will be put on by the UMKC Institute for Human Development. It runs all day on Saturday, March 2nd. More information at 816-235-5371, or you can email Julie Warm at warmj@umkc.edu. If you want to join our conversation with your questions about how to run for public office, 816-235-2888, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. If you're a woman who has considered running for office, but you weren't quite sure where to start, or you had doubts about your prospects, we'd like to hear from you. Again, 816-235-2888. Julie, I want to come back to you and this whole idea that you have to have this workshop to encourage more women to run for office. Do you ever get discouraged about this, the fact that we're still talking about this issue in 2013?
Yes, I have to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm discouraged by it. As a active community citizen, I want better for our community. And not that males are bad. I just want more choice. Can I pick up on something,
yes,
though?
Yes, please.
And it was a subtle thing, but you asked Betty, you said, when you decided to run, was it through your mind that, that I can do the same job as good or better than somebody else? The research shows is that when males consider opportunities, they evaluate those opportunities based on an external reference. So they will say, if Joe can do that, then I can do that because I'm just as smart as Joe. But a woman, when she evaluates an opportunity, will consider that opportunity against an idealized self, against herself. Mm-hmm. And so what she will say, am I good enough? Not am I as good or am I better than my neighbor, they'll say, am I good enough against my idea of what that person should be?
Mm-hmm.
And so often a woman comes up short and is less likely to say yes because of this idealized person. And
that's what you have to overcome.
And that's exactly what we have to overcome. And so this workshop is sensitive to that and addresses that. If a woman is asked to run for office or considered an opportunity, she's four times more likely than if she is pulled out and singled out.
Hmm.
Four times more likely if she's asked.
Yeah.
Because it gives her that validation.
Yeah. And so your workshop, how do you begin to deal with these questions of how women tend to look at themselves and whether they can do the job or not? How do you deal with that at the workshop?
Well, the information is the information. So the information about getting your volunteer base or marketing or field work, fundraising, all that's the same information. But what we understand is the psychology of women. We understand the need for people to be asked, to be encouraged, women particularly. And then we also understand just the importance of women being prepared. And so we give them the information. Men are just more likely to roll out of bed and say, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Women want to do their homework.
You know, I've covered this issue a little bit over the years covering politics for the newspaper. And one thing I've come across that really surprised me, Julie, was this research that's been done that showed that women who are not running for office but are potential donors to women political candidates oftentimes come up short, that women candidates have struggled to raise money from women. And I'm wondering, why is that? It's an interesting idea.
It's an interesting idea, and you're right. I mean, I deal with facts, and I don't think that there's been any overwhelming research to show why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right. They're short from women donors, not donors in general.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No systematic bias in the system once they file.
Mm-hmm.
It's women self-select out before they file.
Betty Knight, what have you come across on that front in terms of women's reticence to even donate to women candidates?
Well, I really, a lot of times, didn't have a problem with that kind of people being reticent to donate to campaigns. I think once you've been in office and people see the job that you do, they are very good about supporting you and telling you that they do support you. I think a lot of times it is a group of husband and wife who come to events who support. I think a lot of times women will support with something other than money. maybe they'll be have a phone bank. They want to host something in their home or that kind of thing is what I have seen. They will have a coffee or they'll have something to introduce you to their friends, and that's what they will want to do as opposed to writing a great big check.
816-235-2888 is our phone number. We have a link to Campaign 101 and all the information I gave out a few minutes ago on our website, kcur.org. You know, this whole idea, Carol Marinovich, of having to organize supporters and, you know, get a campaign platform together, how tough is all that to do? Because, again, it's going to be a foreign concept to some folks out there listening to this.
It takes a lot of planning. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do your homework. You have to know what are the issues. What are the issues driving you? You know, being passionate about it and being committed to the community in which you would represent. It does take a lot of planning, a lot of effort. You've got the planning of the campaign, the fundraising, the speaking engagements, et cetera. It's a real time commitment.
Yeah, knowing some of that stuff is so important. I remember when Adam Taft was first running for Congress, and he made that great run against Dennis Moore a number of years ago. But we sat down for an interview, and I asked him early on about how he felt about abortion. And he was totally taken by surprise. I would ask him that question right out of the gate at a time when abortion politics was such a big deal in Kansas's 3rd District. Betty, you've got to know, I guess, the lay of the land here a little bit, which I guess is the moral of the story here.
You have to know the issues. That is essential if you're running a campaign. There may be one issue that you have in particular, but you have to know all of the issues that are going on. You have to do a lot of reading. You have to do a lot of research. And I find that a lot of folks who think they can just put their name on the ballot and people will know they're running, that they don't have to introduce themselves to people, they don't have to have that one-on-one contact, I think is strange, because you have to work hard in a campaign to be able to tell people who you are and not let your opponent tell people who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have those, and you have to have the knowledge, and you have to do the research yourself to be able to speak and to know what the issues are.
There's an interesting word you just used, speak. And when people hear and think about the idea of getting up in front of lots of people and speaking, sometimes extemporaneously, that can really throw people too.
It certainly can. And I have often thought that when I first started in the campaign, I sure have learned a lot over the years about how to speak. And it does take a little bit of practice. And I think that's one of the things that throw a lot of people off when they're thinking about running for a campaign. How will I?
Yeah, your headset just flew off.
It
happens, yeah.
How will I have to speak, and what will I have to know? And it does take a lot of practice, but you do need to know your issues before you get into a campaign.
How did you get over any concerns you had about public speaking? How was that for you?
I didn't find it very hard. I'd taken some public speaking in high school and in college, I grew up in a family business when my dad started me out when I was 8 years old visiting with the public. So that wasn't a problem that I had. We had a roadside business, and I dealt with people for a long time. And my father had always told me, you know, the customer is always right no matter what happens. So it's kind of like it is in politics. You learn to deal with people. And I had for a long time. That was one of the skills I had. So,
but that's also, we're going to cover that in our curriculum as well.
Yeah. So. How do you help people get over that fear, Julie, speaking in public like that?
Make them do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would agree
with
that.
No other way.
I'm an introvert by nature.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've told me before that was a struggle for
you. Oh, it was the most difficult part, other than asking for money, was the most difficult part. I still remember my first speaking engagements. I'd always want a podium. Hands do shake. Knees do clack together.
You're living proof.
And I thought people in the back row could see my heartbeat. It was pounding so. So I learned to take deep breaths and just by doing. And so now it comes very natural to me. But at the very beginning, it was the most onerous part of the campaigning.
Now, what is that, you know, about? I remember sitting in the studios of Kansas City Public TV the first few times I went on those programs and being so nervous, you think your brain's not going to work. And then you're right, with repetition comes a certain ease, but those first few times, it just is a nightmare.
Oh, it is, and it really does come easier. I remember being at a chamber function, and somehow there was a mix-up, and this is during my time as mayor, and Pete Levy was then head of the chamber, and he goes, "Oh, well, Mayor, you are ready for your remarks." And there are like 1,600 people in the room. I didn't know I was speaking.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, no, what's the topic? And it was regionalism. So I spent the time kind of making an outline in my mind of what I was going to say. So I went up there, and they had a Lucite podium. So you could see everyone's remarks and as they turned pages. Afterwards, one of the business leaders came up to me, goes, "Mayor, I am so impressed. You're the only one who memorized her remarks." It was simply, I didn't have any prepared remarks.
But you don't understand, buddy. I didn't have anything to say. Yeah.
And I thought, thank goodness that happened like 15 years after I first ran for office.
Yeah, or even folks coming in here. I remember the first few times I came to KCUR to speak on the radio and how nervous I was. And I try to remember that when people come in here every day, you know, because it can be really, really tough. Let's go to a phone call here. Jim from Lee Summit. Jim, good morning.
Hello. I was calling to ask these ladies a question about why Ms. Marinovich didn't run for office after serving as mayor.
Why didn't you run for Congress, perhaps? I guess Jim wants to know. Put your money where your mouth is, Carol.
I couldn't believe it. I was a pastor in Wyandotte County, and she came knocked on my door, and I had the first campaign sign on our street, on 87th Street, on time we've ever met. I thought, God, if anybody could get elected, it would be her. And I remember the first public meeting they had for the racetrack. They had it at our church, and I think, what's his name, Dennis Hayes, and the congressman then was, I think his name was Jim Long, and he got crossways with somebody in the audience, and he turned to me and said, "Pastor, you know, what do you want me to do with this?" And I say, "It's your medium. It's just a building." But
Jim, let me have Carol answer the question. Why didn't you run for Congress?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for the yard signs. They do help.
Yeah.
And for your support. I never had political aspirations. You know, I ran for mayor because there were certain things I wanted to see accomplished. And at the end of my term, I felt like I had accomplished what I set out to do. What I liked about being in office was the public servant piece in that community service. And I feel like I'm still doing that by being an adjunct professor at Donnelly. I'm just doing the community service in a different way and hopefully preparing the next generation to know about politics and how to make good decisions on candidates and issues based on fact.
Yeah. Dr. Julie Warm, Campaign 101, again, runs on Saturday, March 2nd. It's an all-day session sponsored by the UMKC Institute for Human Development. Phone number for more information, 816-235-5371, or email Julie at warmj@umkc.edu. Just real quickly, what's going to happen at Campaign 101? What happens during that all-day ceremony?
We're going to have a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's going to be high energy. Quick in and out, one day, what you need to know. You aren't going to be a veteran, but you're going to have the basics.
Okay. Again, that's coming up on March 2nd. More information about that on our website, kcur.org. I want to thank Carol Marinovich for coming in. Carol, always good to have you here.
My pleasure. Thank you
again.
So much.
Betty Knight, former presiding commissioner of Platte County. Betty, good to have you, too.
Thank you very much. It was nice.
And Dr. Julie Warm, always good to have you, too.
It's been fun.